You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches.
Laura, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I am doing well. It's been a beautiful couple of days in North Carolina, and then today it's supposed to rain for like an inch and a half worth of rain or something. So okay. It's good to get a little bit of rain, and I've got a little bit of spaces in my front yard that are needing to be some new grass sown in them, so it's a great time to get a little bit of grass sown in the front yard. So. Good time, good day.
Yeah, well, good. Well, I'm going to cut straight to our topic. Today we are talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. And so our title is The COVID-19 Pandemic, A Perfect Context for Christian Mentoring. So I guess my first question for you, Dad, is why is that a perfect context for Christian mentoring?
Well, you know, when you're the founder of a Christian nonprofit organization that works on mentoring, then you think everything's a perfect context for mentoring. So I will give kind of a full disclosure there, but I mean this both honestly and thoughtfully. And the reason I mean that this context, the COVID-19 context, is a perfect context for Christian mentoring is because I think that at the core of Christian mentoring, it is the establishing, the encouraging, the fostering, the mutual encouraging of faith in each of both the mentor and the mentee, of the mentor and mentee learning to more deeply believe the Lord and follow the Lord and obey the Lord, no matter what, and especially in the hard times. And because of the challenges that all of us are facing with COVID-19, both those of us who aren't sick, but are just dealing with the inconveniences and the fears. Right. But then for those who are sick, this is still just an amazing opportunity for believers to come together and to strengthen and encourage each other's faith in the Lord. So that's why I think this is a great context for mentoring.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, and so in our show notes, I think you mentioned this, but we have a paper that we're going to be linking to by the same title. Mm-hmm. So listeners, make sure to check that out. But Dad, you began that paper with several verses that I thought were really encouraging. I think they were encouraging because they kind of cast vision for how we could live our faith out with one another right now, which is what you were just saying. Would you share about, maybe pick one of those verses and kind of tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, there's two that I'll reference, and they are ones that we've talked about in earlier podcasts, but they really get at that at the core of Christian mentoring is the building up of each other's faith. And Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul the older Christian is saying to the younger Christians at Rome, he writes this, he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." And so that kind of makes sense, the older Christian giving to the younger Christians what God's given him to give. But then he immediately kind of clarifies that and says, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And so even though Paul's the older Christian with, gifts from the Lord to give to the younger, he really is thinking about, but this is that both of us are going to be encouraged as we see the other one trust Jesus, even when it's really hard, and step forward. And and then a similar verse is Hebrews 13:7, which it says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their lives and imitate their faith." And the thing that always strikes me about that is it does say we're to remember those who have led us, those who have given us the word of God. We are to consider, how did their lives work out? How are their lives working out? But in that passage, the only thing we're to imitate is how do they trust God? How did they trust God?
Man.
And so if we think about that in the context of mentoring amid a pandemic, it's just a right place for us to be encouraged by seeing how each of us are being strengthened to believe Jesus, even in the midst of all the uncertainty and fear, and especially for us older Christians to be modeling for younger Christians, what does it look like to be honest and vulnerable about how we're wrestling with, struggling, but choosing to trust Jesus above all the things that we hear on the news or all the things that would want to send us to just fear and almost like collapse.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Well, and I love what you said about mutual encouragement because I think that, I mean, this is just such a heavy time. And I mean, that's, I feel like it's a heavy time for someone, and I'm someone who's like not really suffering at all. You know, like I haven't lost a job, haven't, you know, can find food, no one's sick. But it does just feel like kind of this ongoing heavy time. And I think it can be really easy to just either like be obsessed with the news or, you know, the bad news, like you were saying, or to just want to escape it, like with memes.
Yes.
Which I am not knocking memes. Maybe in the show notes I'll link my favorite memes. I'm just kidding.
And maybe for really your father, you can explain what a meme is.
So well, I was thinking, I wonder, you know what a meme is, though? I mean, it's basically just like a picture with like a funny little quip. I'm sure you've seen a meme. I'll see.
I'm sure I have.
Let me educate you after this podcast.
Didn't even know what it was. To me, it sounds like the name of a grandmother, you know, meme and papa or something.
But yeah, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I'll send you some later. I bet Will has some good memes. But anyways, yeah, just kind of like wanting to like find a lighthearted, you know, kind of escape from it, which I don't think is bad. And I think that can be a good way to kind of engage people and just let them know, hey, I'm thinking of you. And I saw this and thought of you. But it's not the kind of deep encouragement that like people who are suffering or struggling really need. And what I hear you saying is like, this is an opportunity for us to be real about our faith. And that is, I mean, you were saying like showing the faith that we do have, and that encourages other people, and also being honest about the ways that we are struggling and need God's help and are needing to depend on God in our weakness. So I think, yeah, I mean, this is, I don't know, that's really encouraging to me. I'm not sure that. Anyways, but moving on from that, I'm going to read a quote from the article that I found really compelling. You said, all of us deal with the daily temptation to put our hope in hand sanitizer and public policy rather than in God. That's a great sentence, Dad. You said, God uses mentoring as a place where we can come prayerfully together, honestly share how our faith is being tested or strengthened, encourage one another, pray with each other, and then re-enter the storm again. So I think, I mean, I just like love that. Yeah, this idea of like, going deep with each other. Can you give an example of how this has happened in one of your own mentoring relationships?
Yeah, let me just say a couple of things and I will give an example.
Sure.
You know, I think that this is a season where, you know, we're rightly thinking about what are all the things we need to cancel, like certainly gatherings of large groups of people we need to cancel and all of that. I think it's easy to think in this context, well, if I'm in a mentoring relationship or if I'm thinking about beginning a mentoring relationship, that like this is completely not a good time for that and we should just cancel it or not begin it.
Yeah.
And what I'm thinking is, man, of all times in your lifetime, this is the time to either begin a mentoring relationship or to, you know, just go to a web-based approach using Zoom or GoToMeeting or WebEx or whatever you have. You know, different medium, or even phone calls, you know, to where there is that strengthening of each other. Because I think that in a pandemic, it just, you know, crises reveal more quickly what our trust is in.
Totally, yeah.
And we immediately get fearful, we get controlling, we get, you know, just kind of different ways that really reflect, okay, what is my trust in? My trust is that I can find enough sanitizer or toilet paper, or my trust is, you know, whatever. And I think that it's the a mentoring context can be such an anchor to both the mentor and the mentee in terms of what is my trust in, how am I struggling with what my trust is in today.
Yeah.
And I think with the mentoring, you know, relationships that I'm currently in, you know, one of the guys that I'm a mentor for, he and his fiance live in San Francisco, and they have a wedding scheduled in May, and it looks like they're going to need to cancel their wedding.
Yeah.
And so just to be alongside him and to be able to help him think that through, not just logistically, but think it through also in terms of how do I keep my trust in the Lord and maybe not get bitter at the Lord, blaming this somehow on him.
Yeah.
Like, how do we do that? And then me, you know, recounting to him how I'm dealing with things in my world. Or another friend that's in, is a doctor who specializes in lung disease. And he is just in kind of the calm before a storm in a major city.
Yeah.
And just coming alongside him. And again, he's engaged, and he and his fiance kind of figuring out, you know, what does it look like to go through engagement in the context of a pandemic? And again, how do we not just figure it out logistically or try to somehow leverage control over everything, but how do we do this in a way that keeps our trust in him?
Yeah, man, that's really good. Well, and one thing that I hear you saying, and this is something I really appreciate about your faith, is that, I mean, you're saying we should be honest about the things that really are challenging or are diverting our trust in God, because I think it can be easy, I mean, always, but maybe especially in times like this, to either just like, yeah, totally throw a pity party, or to think that like really living by faith is just kind of like, well, we're just trusting God and, you know, just kind of like, yeah, like there's nothing, there's no struggle in it at all. And I think one thing that's always encouraging to me about talking to you is like you're honest about the things that our struggles, and yet you kind of model, and yet who do I know God is?
Yes.
And I mean, I know you don't do that perfectly, but you do that consistently. So I think I find that really helpful, because then it kind of, I mean, I certainly don't perfectly trust God. So like watching you do that is really helpful to me. I guess, is that the big benefit of that? Or are there other things that you think are really beneficial about being honest in that way? Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think the honesty between the mentor and the mentee in a mentoring relationship in this kind of context is it just validates that we're not going to fake our way through this.
Yeah.
We're not going to just go through it like someone who doesn't even know God would go through it, but kind of smear a little bit of Jesus on top to make it palatable.
Right.
But we really are going to wrestle with the hard realities, and maybe even we're going to jar each other into some of those realities. You know, a number of the young men that I mentor are, you know, upper middle class guys who still have a lot of barriers between them and the realities of this pandemic.
Yeah.
Meaning they live in nice neighborhoods, they live in secure homes, they are not at danger of being without food. There's a lot of barriers between them and the harsh realities of people who aren't upper middle class and who don't have all the barriers and protections that we do. And so helping them to begin to imagine, what's the rest of the world dealing with right now? And what would it be like in that neighborhood?
Yeah.
Or what would it be like with being in New York City right now, to where it's not just, okay, I'm fine, and, you know, maybe this is kind of inconvenient because instead of going to classes, I'm having to do web-based classes or something like that. But it's more, also shocking each other into the reality of what our country is going through and really what the world is going through, to where we have more of a grateful heart for the blessings we have to this point, but also it sets us to action and to imagination of how do I get out of some of my comfort so that I can lay down my life for others, because God calls us to live in wisdom in a time like this. And part of wisdom is not to do risky things that would end up contaminating other people with the disease.
Yeah.
But even in the midst of being called to live wisely, the call on our life to lay down our lives for others has not been suspended.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think part of a mentoring relationship right now can be honest discussions over how am I balancing those two, of living wisely with my trust in God, but also with my trust in God, being willing to sacrifice even at my own personal risk for the benefit of others. You know, in the paper that you mentioned, on the very last page of that paper that's going to be part of the show notes, there's a quote from Martin Luther, who wrote in 1527, he wrote a pamphlet called Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague, which is kind of like, when's the last time you heard a title like that? But I think
the Middle Ages.
He's trying to think through how should Christians manage when they're in a deadly plague. And so he wrote, "Therefore I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others, and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. But if God should wish to take me, he will surely find me and find that I have done what he has expected of me, and so I'm not responsible for either my own death or the deaths of others." But then he qualifies all that he just said with this sentence: "But if my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely." And I just thought Luther's quote there was just such a wise balance of, okay, first thing I'm going to do is pray. Second thing I'm going to do is, you know, fumigate, like get my context as sterile as possible. And then I'm going to try to make wise decisions and not be foolish. But what my hope is that if God takes me, that he'll find me faithful, and that I have still been willing, if my neighbor needs me, to take risk to help my neighbor.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's just, I think, a perfect context. I said earlier in this podcast that crises tend to reveal quickly what our trust is in.
Yeah.
I think crises also help us to more quickly see the relevance of the words of believers who have gone before us.
Interesting.
To where, when, you know, who would in normal times pick up a quote from Luther on whether one may flee from a deadly plague? It's like, well, that's not relevant to me. But now all of a sudden, this is real relevant, and it's good to learn from a brother who's actually gone through a plague.
Yeah.
I really appreciate how God uses things like this to help us to learn from the church that's gone on before us.
Yeah, this is a real quick question, but speaking of that, do you have any, like, if people had a little extra time during quarantine, is there, like, one book you might recommend? I know I'm just, like, throwing this at you, so.
What would you read with one book? Oh, my soul. I don't know.
Maybe if one comes to mind, you could put it in the show notes or something.
Yeah, I know that a while ago, Elizabeth Elliot wrote a book called A Path Through Suffering. And I would certainly recommend anything Elizabeth Elliot has written on suffering, or anything that Johnny Erickson Tada has written on suffering.
Hmm.
Those are two sure voices in the midst of suffering, would be those two. I think another thing that really has been a very good comfort to me recently has been, from some of our listeners, this is going to be foreign territory, but in church history, there is a thing called the Heidelberg Catechism.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
Heidelberg Catechism is basically a teaching mechanism where there are a series of questions about our faith, and then with each question there's an answer, and the answer all has, all embedded in the answer are all the scripture verses that relate to that.
Yeah.
And it basically is a statement of what do we believe. And the Heidelberg Catechism, I find to be just one that is both so theologically sound, but uh-huh. is also so warm in its effect. And again, in that paper that I just mentioned, there's a quote in there from the Heidelberg Catechism that says, the question, the first question of the catechism is, what is your only comfort in life and death?
Yeah.
And the answer is, my only comfort in life and death is that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me, and this is very relevant, this sentence, he also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. And then listen to this. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. And then he says, therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him.
Yeah,
I think that's just a good centering, balancing thing to be reading right now. Just the basic tenets of the Christian faith put forward very biblically, but also in a way that I think has a lot of warmth written into it.
No,
so those
really
are a few resources,
Well, and kind of tying it back to, so you were talking about, like looking at Christians from centuries past. And earlier in our conversation, you talked about like mentoring relationships between people of different generations.
Yeah.
But you mentioned in the paper that this is an opportunity to help each other understand the challenges that each of us may have been blind to. And you kind of talked about this a little bit, like with the upper middle class, you know, young adults or whatever. But tell me more about that. How does it help us to have relationships with people of different generations and to be talking with them right now?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to go into it believing that it is going to help. You know, sometimes if you're the older person, like I'm in my mid-60s and I'm mentoring people in their 20s and early 30s.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you have to take things in faith in terms of, you know, how will this help them? But I just believe that somehow it's going to be helpful to their faith to hear how a almost 66-year-old man is thinking through this crisis.
Totally.
And for me to tell them, you know, I'm in the high-risk group. And I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to my wife. I don't know if we're both going to get it, if both of us die from it, one of us dies from it. So that's the world I live in. And here are the ways that I'm being stretched to trust God. But then also to hear from their world. And you know, you have to understand, you have to respect that each other's worlds are different. Like when I've just said I'm a 66-year-old guy and I don't know if I'm going to die from this, and then what they share is, well, my classes were canceled and I'm having to do online lessons. You know, there's part of me that's like, good grief, is there's nothing, you know, harder than that.
Yeah.
But that is a complete upheaval of their world.
Yeah.
And so the younger and the older, for them to benefit, they can't dismiss each other's stories as just, well, that's irrelevant or that's important.
Yeah, no, that's good.
They have to learn how to enter into seeing it the way that the person sees it. Because, you know, when I share I'm a 66-year-old guy and I don't know how this is going to go for me, it really stretches a 23-year-old guy to put his stuff down and try to think through what would that be like?
Yeah.
What would that feel like? But that's good for him.
Uh-huh.
And for me to put down my kind of oldness and to just think, what would it be like if it's your senior year in college and your whole, pretty much your whole senior second semester, graduation, the whole thing's been canceled?
Yeah.
What would that look like? And that is right in that place that we can encourage each other's faith. So, you know, to wrap up, Laura, I think what I'm wanting to say here is, for those of you who are Christian mentors, or for those of you who are considering becoming Christian mentors, don't miss this opportunity. This, in some ways, is the opportunity of your lifetime to engage with a younger person around you and to learn with them together, what does it look like to trust God now? Don't miss this opportunity.
Man, that's really good. Yeah, thanks, Dad. Well, I think that's a great way to end. You want to finish us up?
Oh, you bet. Well, just want to remind you, at Leadership Edge, the core vision of the mentoring that we provide is around the personal vision statement, which is, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And that's what we're about as an organization, and we encourage you to, even in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis, to take up that vision for your life. Also want to remind you that we are a 501c3 Christian nonprofit organization, and we exist largely around the donations that we receive. So if you want to be a donor to Leadership Edge, go to our website, www.lead-edge.com. And at the top of the homepage, you'll see a donate button where you can make a donation. And thank you so much for being a listener today.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us, listeners, like Dad said. And next week, we will be dropping a bonus episode, which is just kind of like a Q&A of me asking my dad some questions about how he's thinking through and processing everything going on with the pandemic. So hopefully that'll be helpful, and we'll be back next week with a bonus episode.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.